Archibald will say good morning. A lot to do today. Today's daf is Mem, page 40. We are going to start from Lamed Tes Amud Beis. So we left off Amar Rav Yosef. It's 2, 4, 6, 8, 9 lines up from the bottom. Our shir today is dedicated by Akiva Noach Andrews in memory of his mother, Sharon Ann Andrews, and we hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, her neshama will have an aliyah and her family a nechama. So let's begin. So says the Gemara, Amar Rav Yosef, Imali darshe acher lahaikra k'Rabbi Yaakov barbarte, lo chata. So let's remember again, we were introduced to the amazing sheet of Rabbi Yaakov yesterday, and Rabbi Yaakov said that schar mitzvah b'hai al malecha. There is no reward for mitzvos in this world. That is Rabbi Yaakov's shita. So remember, Rabbi Yosef says, Acher, remember, Acher is Elisha ben Avuya. So Elisha ben Avuya, we'll see what happens. So if we're not for the fact, if only Elisha ben Avuya would have dashed in the pasuk like Rabbi Yaakov, meaning he would have understood that Schar mitzvah b'hai al malecha, there's no reward for mitzvos in this world. So lo chata, he would not have sinned. The Acher my habi. So what happened with Acher? Ika de amri ki agav nachaza. So some say that Acher literally, so we'll say this is actually the Medrash in Koheles Rabba, actually brings this down, that Acher literally saw a father command his son to go ahead and retrieve eggs from a nest. The son sent away the mother bird, and as the son was coming down from the tree, the son was bit by a snake, a venomous snake, and died. And Acher saw this entire thing unfold. Actually, the Medrash says that first he saw a guy being Mechal Shabbos, going up on the tree on Shabbos, being Mechal Shabbos, taking the eggs, not sending away the mother bird, and the guy came down and was just fine. And then he saw this episode with the son. This was too much for Acher to handle. Therefore, he came to the conclusion of Les Din V'Les Dayon. There is no justice, and there is no judge. And that's when Acher totally goes off the derech. V'ikah d'amri. Others say, Lishna de Chutzbis HaTorgiman Chaza. Others say that he saw the tongue of Chutzbis the Torgiman. Chutzbis the Torgiman was the Torgiman, was the translator for the great sages. The Havagar Le Davar Acher. The Romans cut out the tongue of Chutzbis, they threw it into the street, and Elisha ben Avuya saw a pig carrying the tongue of Chutzbis. Chutzbis HaTorgiman was one of the Asar HaRugim Malchus, one of the 10 martyrs. So others say that Acher saw this barbaric treatment of Chutzbis, and therefore again, so Amar Peh, Shepik Marglios, this mouth that uttered forth pearls of wisdom, Yelachich Afar, should it go ahead now and lick dust, Nafak Chata. Acher left Judaism and he picked up a life of sin. So as his Limur is suggesting, had Acher realized that Schar Mitzvah B'Hai Amalek, like Rabbi Yaakov, that there's no real reward for mitzvos in this world, then ultimately, again, Acher perhaps would not have gone off the derech.
So that's the first part. That's where things
began to unravel a little bit. But Lamaisa, again, Chazal attribute his departure from the derech to really the whole tzaddik v'ralo piece. So the Gemara goes right there. So the Gemara says, Rami Bar Tuvi Barav Kisna. Excuse me, Rami Rav Tuvi Barav Kisna L'Rava. Rav Tuvi posed the following question to Rava. Tanan, Kala Osa Mitzvah Achas Mativen Lo. Whoever does one mitzvah, ultimately, again, he is rewarded. Asa In Lo Asa Lo. If he did the mitzvah, he gets rewarded. If he doesn't do the mitzvah, he doesn't get rewarded. Or Min, he went raise the kasha. Yashav Lo Avrav Eirenos Neschar Kosei Mitzvah. So this is actually a wonderful Gemara. We learned that if you sit and you do not violate an Avera, so they give you schar, you get schar from HaKadosh Baruch Hu as if you performed the mitzvah. So you hear the contradiction. So on one hand, again, it sounds like if you do a mitzvah, you get reward. But if you don't have the mitzvah, you don't get reward. Second Brai says, if I sit and do nothing, essentially every moment that I don't do an Avera, I get reward as if I did a mitzvah, which of course is an incredible idea. Amrale, Hasam Kegon Shebadva Avera the Yadav Nitzal Hemena. No. What it means is that if I had the opportunity to sin, but I actively chose not to sin, then I sit and do nothing, I sit and don't sin, in that case I am given the reward as if I've actually done a mitzvah. Kihad Rabbi Chanina Bar Papi, like Rabbi Chanina Bar Papi, he was propositioned by a certain Roman noblewoman to go ahead and engage in an illicit act. Amar Milsa Umali Nafsh. Amar Milsa, he recited some type of spell. Umali Nafshi Shechna Vekiba, and his body was covered with scabs and boils. In other words, he did something that made himself look unattractive. So of the Himilsa, Vesi, so she also said some type of incantation, and she healed him. Arak Tashabahu Bebani. See, he ran away to a bathhouse. The Chihava Island Betrin Afilu Biyamama Habe Misiki. So I'll say, so apparently one of the places that Shadim frequent is the bathhouse. And this bathhouse had such a significant shade problem that the Shadim would start up with people even by day, which I'll say is a big thing, because normally Shadim only start up by night. And furthermore, they even started up with two people, meaning groups of people. Normally Shadim only start up with individuals again alone. So this bathhouse was afflicted with such a significant shade problem that the Shadim started up by day and even with two people. But yet, Rabbi Chanina ran in there. So what happened? So the Gemara says, "Lamachar amli rabbanan man natrach." So the next day, Rabbi Chanina comes out of the bathhouse, and everyone's amazed. His rabbinic colleagues are amazed that he was not harmed in the bathhouse. So they said to him, "Who guarded you?" Amarlu, he said to them, the amazing Gemara, top of Mem, "Shnei no se kesar shamuni kala layla." There were two men who looked like the Caesar's guards, who guarded me the entire night. Amrulei, Shema Devar Erva Bal Yadcha Venitzal Tehemenu. So they said to him, it must have been that you were faced with the opportunity to engage in an immoral act, and yet you went ahead and resisted that temptation. How do we know this? Ditanina, Kol Haba Devar Erva Liyado Venitzal Hemena Osin Lo Nis. Because it was that anyone who has the opportunity to sin in an immoral fashion and is saved from that, they perform miracles for such individuals. So we'll say, the idea being that the opportunity to sin, the opportunity to be immoral, is such an incredibly strong draw. That literally, again, this is Maral brings this down, there's like a midah keneged midah. To be able to resist the temptation of immorality is in and of itself a miraculous thing. Because the desire for immorality is so strong within man. The ability to resist that temptation is so strong that it's like miraculous. Therefore, the midah keneged midah is that what? If I can resist that temptation, if I can be miraculous, then the Ribono Shel Olam provides miracles for me as well. Incredible. Gibori koach oseh dvaro lishma b'kol dvaro. So what does it mean? The pasuk says, Gibori koach, literally again, those strong of strength, yeah, Gibori, the strong with great strength, oseh dvaro, who perform the will of God, lishma b'kol dvaro, to go ahead and listen to the voice of his command, the sound of his commands. Who does this refer to? Who are the Gibori koach? Kegon Rabbi Tzadok v'chavero. This is like Rabbi Tzadok in his hands. We'll also listen to this ma'isa. Rabbi Tzadok tavasi ahi matronisa. Rabbi Tzadok was propositioned by a certain Roman noblewoman. Again, to engage in it. It's fine. Thank you. to engage in a particular act of immorality. So what happens? Amrale chalash li libay. So let's listen to this. So he says to her, I would engage in the act of immorality, but I'm literally weak. I'm weak. V'lo matzina ika midlamecho. And the truth is, I haven't eaten anything all day, so I'm a little bit weak to engage in this act of immorality, nothing to eat. Amrale, ika davar tameh. So she said to him, no problem, I have a piece of chazer that I'm happy to prepare for you. Amrala, manafka mina da'avid. So she said to her, what do you think is the symbolism? The fact that the only thing you have available to eat is this piece of chazer. It must be achal ha, I'm sorry, it must be da'avid ha, Achalha. It must be that one who engages in an act of immorality is like one who consumes a davar tameh. Just like if you go out and you ingest chazer, you're ingesting something that's tameh. So so to engage in an illicit act defiles one as well. So what happens? I'm sorry?
You are what you eat.
You are what you eat, exactly. You are what you do as well. So shagris tanura kaman chale. So the matronisa, the Roman noblewoman, she fired up the oven. She put the piece of chazer in it. Salak v'yase b'gavei. And literally Rabbi Tzadok went and sat inside the oven. Amrale, she said to him, my hi, what are you doing? Amrale, da'avid ha nafal baha. I've come to realize that he who engages in this act will ultimately fall into this. In other words, that he who engages in an act of immorality ultimately should be ready to go into Gehenna. Amrale, this is interesting, she said to him, iyadi kulehai lo tzaraticha. So she says, had I known that this is going to be such a big deal, I would not have asked you. Right? Okay, I think you're taking this a little bit over the top. It's fine. Meaning, again, you know, had I sensed what she was saying, as I was saying, it's an incredible thing, by the way. What she was saying to him is, had I realized, she obviously did not fully know what Abitabek was, but had I known your convictions, I would not have gone ahead. At proposition. Well, so this is an incredible muster, by the way, because what this Gemara teaches us is that it's in life, it's always good to be strong and upfront about your beliefs, because generally, people respect that. You know, this comes up all the time. I mean, not as much today, but it used to much more. You know, when people are trying to figure out in the workplace, Sam Shomer Shabbos, not Shomer Shabbos, Yarmulke, not Yarmulke, all different kinds of considerations. But when you're upfront with things and you tell people, these are my beliefs, and you're not apologetic about it, and you put it out there that this is who I am, this is what I am, that's how you earn the respect of people. People generally respect principled people. It's when you're wishy-washy on your convictions, wishy-washy on your beliefs. That's ultimately, again, when you send a mixed signal to a person. So are you vested in this or are you not vested in this? So what she's saying to Rabbi Tzedek is, look, I understand. You don't want to go to Gehenna. I get it. As she said, had I known, for some reason, I guess she didn't pick up this vibe to begin with, but had I known that you were so principled in this, I would have never bothered you. Rav Kahana hava kam zabin dikule. Rabbi Kahana was a basket salesman. Tavasi ahimachanisa. He was propositioned by a certain Roman noblewoman. Amarla, Ezel Ikshit Nafshon. So he says to her, fine, I'll go ahead and let me prepare myself for the immoral act. And what happens? Salik v'kanafala igra. He went up to the roof and literally fell off the roof. He was ready to just give up his life rather than sin. Rabbosei, and Rashi points out over here that in these type of situations, these matronisi usually is not just a Roman woman, it's a Roman noblewoman. So these are people ultimately, again, who had significant power. So apparently, Rav Kahana felt the only way for him to escape this possibility was to take his own life. So he literally fell off the roof. Let's listen to this. Asa Eliyahu Kable. Eliyahu Hanavi came and caught him. He caught Rav Kahana as he fell off the roof. Amar Leisi, Eliyahu Hanavi was not happy. He said, Atrachasan arba mea parsi. You made me run 400 parsos in order to get here and to catch you. So Amarle, to which Rav Kahana responds, me garimli. You know why I got into this situation to begin with? Why am I in this situation? In other words, what Rav Kahana was saying is, look, you know why this happened? This happened because I'm a door-to-door salesman, right? Because I have to interact with women all day, and in their homes in a private setting. This is how I got myself into trouble. So I'm like, me garamli, lavani uses, and not my poverty that I have to sell baskets. So yahavle shifa de dinari. So I say, Eliyahu Hanavi gave Rav Kahana literally a treasure chest filled with gold. Incredible. Also, the musar over here is the incredible mesiras nefesh to avoid immorality. It's so easy to fall into the web. It's so easy to fall into the trap. So a person really has to be mesiras nefesh. Again, Rav Kahana's story is an extreme. I want to see mesiras nefesh ultimately, again, to avoid immoral behavior. Ramili Rava Rav Nachman. So, excuse me, Rava pointed out a question to Rav Nachman. Tanan. These are the things that a person does, and he's able to eat their fruit in this world. But the principle stands for the world to come. In other words, we'll say that these are mitzvos for which a person gets benefits in this world, but they also reap benefits in the world to come. Elohim, these are them. Kibbon Avaim, honoring parents. Kamilas Chasadim, acts of kindness. Havaa Shalom Shabin Adam Chavero. Making peace between people, the Talmud Torah keneged kulam, and of course learning Torah. So now the Gemara is just going to prove from the Pesukim of each of these things how they have reward in this world and the next. B'kibud avayim, when it comes to honoring parents, k'siv, leman ya'arichun yamecha, uleman yitav lecha, you shall enjoy longevity of days, and it shall be good for you. So Rashi understands ya'arichun yamecha, longevity of days refers to olam haba, and yitav lecha, it'll be good for you as this world. When it comes to acts of kindness, the pasuk says, "Rodef tzedakah v'chesed, yimatzechayim tzedakah v'kavod." So it says, "He who runs after tzedakah v'chesed will find chayim, yimatzechayim." And again, Rashi says, "Olam haba" refers to the world to come, and will also find tzedakah and kavod that refers to this world. Bavaz shalom. What about when it comes to making peace between people? Ksiv Bake Shalom Varatfehu. It says, seek out peace and ultimately and run after it. Vam Rabbi Avahu, ask your Radifa Radifa. We make Xir Shavar Radifa Radifa. Ksiv Hacha, Bake Shalom Varatfehu. It says, by making peace, Bake Shalom Varatfehu. Uksiv Hasam, Rodev Tzaka Vachasad. And it says over there, by by Gemilas Chasadim, ultimately, again, Rodev Tzedakah V'Chesed. So just like by Gemilas Chasadim, you get reward in this world and the next, so too by making peace between people, there's reward in this world and the next. But Talmud Torah Ksiv, by learning Torah, says, Kihu Chayecha V'Orech Yomecha, because this is your life, Chayecha, and Orech Yomecha. So Chayecha means this world, you'll have life in this world. Orech Yomecha, longevity of days, that refers to the world to come. I but must be shluach hakan nami ksiv leman yitav loch va'arachta yamin. But I will say 1 second. But it also says by shluach hakam, sending away the mother bird. The pasuk also says that it shall be good for you va'arachta. You have longevity of days. The pasuk says the Gemara assumes over here that yitav loch and ha'arachta yamin both refer to what yitav loch means. It's good for you in this world. Ha'arachta yamin means what you have longevity in the world to come. So why isn't shluach hakan included in the list of things for which there is reward in this world and in the next, to which the Gemara says, listen, Namiha, why don't you include this in the list as well? Tana Vashir, to which the Gemara answers, the Tana ultimately didn't include everything. So the Gemara says, Tana Elu Dvarim Va'at Amri Tana Vashir, how can that be? The way that the Mishnah opened up, Rabbi Moshe, was how? Elu Dvarim, these are the things. A statement like Elu Dvarim, these are the things, indicates to us what? That this is an all-inclusive list. Va'at Amri Tana Vashir, Amarava Rav Idias Sarbali. Rav Idias explained to me in the following, Rabbi Moshe, it's actually quite a beautiful Gemara. Imru Tzadik Kitov, Ki Prima Alaleim Yochelu. Say to the tzaddik who is good that he will eat the fruits of his labor. The chiyesh tzaddik tov yesh tzaddik shenatov. So we'll say, so why does the pasuk need to call the tzaddik a tzaddik tov? Is there such a thing as a good tzaddik and a bad tzaddik? Being a tzaddik by definition means you're tov. Listen to this beautiful explanation. The chiyesh tzaddik tov yesh tzaddik shenatov. Is there such a thing as a good tzaddik, such a good thing as a bad tzaddik? Listen to this. Ella tov l'shamayim u'lebrios zel tzaddik tov. But we'll say, what does it mean? A tzaddik who is good to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to people, that's a tzaddik tov. Tov l'shamayim v'tov l'brios, zeu tzaddik sheino tov. But I will say, a tzaddik ultimately, again, a tzaddik who is good to the Ribbono Shel Olam but bad to people, that's a tzaddik sheino tov. What's an incredible, incredible yisod. A true tzaddik is someone who has been adam l'makom and been adam l'chavero. Just have been adam l'makom and not been adam l'chavero, so you're a tzaddik sheino tov. Similarly, kiyotzei b'davar, ata omer, oyla rasha ra, ki gemul yadav ya'aselo. Woe to the evil rasha, because gemul yadav, literally the repayment for the actions of his hands, will be done to him. V'chiyesh rasha ra, v'yesh rasha sheino ra. Is there such a thing as a bad rasha, such a thing as a rasha who's not bad? Ella, listen to this. Ra la shmai v'ra la b'yosu rasha ra. Someone who is bad to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and bad to people, that's a Rasha who is Ra. Ra la shamayim ve'enu ra la brios, but someone who is bad to the Ribbono Shel Olam, but is not bad to people, zehu Rasha she'eno ra. This I will say is called the Rasha who is not so. It's an incredible Gemara. What do you see from this? You see from this that in the eyes of the Ribbono Shel Olam, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is literally willing to say is, I'm okay if you take certain liberties with my covet, as long as you don't take liberties with the covet of the other. An incredible, incredible idea. Because Baruch Hu, me, I've got some thick skin. But how you treat other people, that's the true test of your spiritual mettle. So Baruch Hu says, therefore, just kind of closing the circle, this the Gemara gives. If you look at Rashi, Rabbi Idi Asabrali, Eino Doma Eilu Lahanach. So remember again, what was the Gemara's Kasha? The Gemara's Kasha was, why wasn't Shiluach HaKan? Why wasn't sending away the mother bird included in the list of mitzvos for which you get reward in this world and the next, that the pasuk indicates that there's reward in both worlds, to which Rav Idi explained, look at Rashi, Eino Doma La'ilu Dahanach Kulu Abrios Nenim Rimenu, V'dim Tzatol Sham Tov Abrios. Oh, so what says, so the answer is, because the only items listed in the Mishnah are items that what? Are items that are Tov La Shamayim and Tov L'Brios. Items that are good for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and items that are good for my fellow man as well. Shiluach HaKan, which is only Tov LaShamayim, and not Tov LaBrios, it's for God. It's for God. It has no impact on man. Ultimately, that is not included in the list. Incredible idea. Says the Gemara, Hazichus, Yesh Lo Karen, V'Yesh Lo Peros. A mitzvah has a carrot, has a principle, and osas peros, osas shudamos. And now what that means is that when you do a mitzvah, the reward is often above and beyond what you've done. In other words, the reward could sometimes be more, could sometimes be in greater measure than the act itself. Shene emar, the pasuk says, imru tzadiki tov, avera yesh la keren ve'in la peres. On the other hand, in avera, it has a principle, but it doesn't have peres. What does that mean? What that means is, the Shbaruch Hu never punishes me for more than the intensity of the avera itself. So for a mitzvah, I can get additional reward. For an avera, there's no such thing as additional punishment above and beyond the measure of the avera. Shene emar, oyla rashara, ve'alamani makayim, ve'yochlu mi pi darkom, mi pri darkom, but what does it mean when the pasuk says that they shall eat from the fruits of their ways, and from that which they commit they shall be sated, which sounds like an aver is punished above and beyond. But rather what it means is, sometimes if an avera has peros, what does it mean? Rashi gives examples. Avera sheish lo peros, a great person is mechal shem shemayim. Let's say a great person, Rashi says, avera sheish lo peros, asa peros kegon chilul Hashem, sha'adum chashiv over avera, v'achirin lebein dimenu lasos kein. So let's say you have a great person who unfortunately commits a chilul Hashem, that creates God's name. Other people see that and they learn from that example. That's called an avera sheyesh laperos. Unfortunately, the avera that keeps on giving, right? The avera that goes ahead and keeps on having an effect. So for that, when the person is punished, the person is punished in relation to the peros of the avera, not just the avera itself. So the Gemara goes weiter. Machshava tov mitzvah for lemaisa. It's a beautiful Gemara. When a person has a good thought, a thought to do a mitzvah, ultimately, again, a person, mitzvah for lemaisa, Kadosh Baruch Hu counts this machshava like an action. Shene emar, as nidberu yirei Hashem, ish al re'ehu, vayakshev Hashem vayishma, vayikasev sefer zikron lefan of the yirei Hashem, so God writes down the merits of people. For those who think about His name, my lechosh veishmo. What does it mean for those who think about His name? If a person wanted to do a mitzvah, but he was precluded from doing so because of some extenuating circumstance, and therefore was unable to do it, person gets credit as if they did it. What's amazing? Now again, let's be clear. So on the other hand, let's be clear about this. This doesn't mean that if I sit on my couch with the remote in my hand and I think, oh, I'm just thinking about mitzvos, right? So that does not work. That does not work. What this refers to over here, that's good. It's always good to think about mitzvos. But rather what this specifically refers to over here is a person who wanted to do a mitzvah was precluded from doing so because of circumstances beyond their control. Kadosh Baruch Hu gives me credit for that mitzvah as if I did it. On the other hand, the good news is, if a person has a thought or a desire to do an avera, Kadosh Baruch Hu does not count that thought as a maisa avera itself. Because again, if Kadosh Baruch Hu sees sin in my heart, God will not listen. In other words, that God does not count thought as action when it comes to thought about sin. But yet again, what do we do with the pasuk that says, Kadosh Baruch Hu, I'm going to bring destruction upon this people, the fruits of their negative thoughts, which seems to indicate to us that what? That one is held accountable for thoughts about averus. Machshava shaose pri, Kadosh Baruch Hu mitzar for the maiso. So ultimately, again, if you have a thought that ultimately yields actions. In other words, if I have thoughts that do an avera, and then those thoughts materialize in concrete sinful action, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu counts that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu faults me or holds me responsible, not just for the action, but for the thought as well. But if the thought itself never translates into actual action, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't hold me accountable for the thought. What about the pasuk that says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'll hold Klal Yisrael accountable for that which they think in their heart? Oh, that's idolatry. Idolatry is the one exception to this rule. Because we will say, Avodas Kochavim is more chamer than anything else, because ultimately, again, one who kol hakofer, which means anyone who renounces idolatry, it's as if he affirms the entire Torah. The converse then, unfortunately, is true, which is whoever one believes or thinks about idolatry, unfortunately, it's as if one repudiates or renounces the entire Torah as well. Therefore, Avodah Zarah is the one exception to this rule. Normally, God does not hold me accountable for things that I think. Now, Michael raised an interesting point yesterday after Shir, which is that there are other cognitive mitzvos, like lo sechmot, right? Like not to covet. I'm sorry?
It's the same thing.
So, Michael and Menachem. Michael and Menachem. Schoenfeld. Schoenfeld. Saint. Baruch Hashem. What? It's, God, it's beautiful. Shkach Menachem. So again, so also, see, you have low sachmot. You also have, it does get credit. So you also have low sasuru acharei elevavchem. You also have this idea of not looking at certain things. So that, I'm sorry. I was coming to that. Mamish. I can go on sabbatical at this point, isn't it? This is incredible. You guys could do this. So the point the Gemara is making over here is that those are true, but again, there's nothing like Avodah Zarah, where just the thought of Avodah Zarah can mamish be like a repudiation of Kol HaTorah Kula. So the Gemara says, Ula says, once a person goes in and commits an Avera and repeats the Avera, Hutralo, it becomes permitted to him. Hutralo, becomes permitted to him. Look at the Rebbe, this is a very profound Gemara. Rather, what it means is the following. The Rebbe say, you know, a person violates an Avera, the first time I violated, it feels very serious, and I feel very unholy. But then what happens? Once you do it a couple of times, nasis loketer. I'm saying nasis loketer means I still know that it's wrong, but what? It doesn't feel wrong anymore. At a certain point in time, the mind say again, you do something enough. Again, even though, bless you, I cognitively I know that it's wrong, it no longer feels like it's inappropriate. I'm Rabbi Avraham Shmuel Bichanina. Noach lo adam. What say is amazing. Noach lo adam shiyabor avera b'seiser va'ayichalol shim shemayim befarhesya. It is better for a person to violate an avera in private rather than to desecrate the name of God in public. Shene'emar, because the pasuk says va'atem beis Yisrael ko'amar Hashem. So you say beis Yisrael. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says ish gilulav l'chu ivdu ve'im einchem shomim elai ves shem kachi lo sechalu. Because the pasuk says, listen, go worship your idolatry if you need to, but don't profane my great name. So from here, I will say the Gemara says that sometimes we're gonna expound this theme a little bit. It is better to minimize the collateral damage of sin. So if a person is going to sin, better to sin in private than to maximize the collateral damage by creating Chil Hashem in addition to the sin. Am Rabbi Eloi Zakin, Imro Adam Shiso Meskabel, this is amazing Gemara. Rabbi Eloi says, if a person sees that his Yetzer is too powerful for him to conquer, Yelech Lamakum Shin Makirin Oso, he should go to a place where no one recognizes him, V'yilbash Shechorim, he should put on black clothing, V'yizkasa Shechorim, and let him do whatever he wants. And do not desecrate God's name in public. So we'll say, look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says, Yilbash Chomer means put on black. So Rashi says, putting black on has one of two possibilities. Either the color black humbles an individual, or the truth is, again, it just cloaks one's identity. So Rabbi Eloi seems to be saying that if a person can't control his Yetzirah, minimize the collateral damage. How do you minimize the collateral damage? By at least preventing Chil Hashem. Go somewhere where no one knows you. Do what you have to do and minimize the Chil Hashem. Now, there's a very important caveat here. Take a look at Tosos in just a moment. Tosos, V'yaseh ma'asher libo chafetz, do whatever you want. Now again, I saw too many smiles when he read this, right? Does not mean go do what you want. Just minimize the Chil Hashem. That's not what it means. He says, Bosa is amazing. So remember, this is Machlokas Rashi tells us how to understand this Gemara. According to Rashi, Ya'aseh Ma'asher Chafetz literally means, look, what Rabbi Eloi is acknowledging is, there are times that I can't overcome my Yitzhara. Like that, apparently, according to Rashi, there are times I can't overcome. So in those times where I'm going to sin, minimize the collateral damage by going somewhere where no one knows you, where at least if you're going to sin, at least there's not going to be a Chilul Hashem. Tosa says that's not what it means. Tosa says you could always fight your Yetzirah. Of course you could fight the Yetzirah. Anything else, any test that a Chilul Baruch Hu puts, but I have the ability to overcome it. So what does it mean? Yasem Ashli B'chavitz. What it means, Rabbi Lohi says, listen, here's what you need to do. Go travel somewhere else. Go put on black clothing. So what Rabbi Lohi says is, the fatigue of travel, plus the clothing yourself in black, which humbles someone, that will break the Yetzirah. The Ya'aseh ma sheli bo chafetz means, and do what your heart really wants you to do, which is what? Which is mitzvos, which is not sin. So you understand a fundamental, not as many smiles now, right? So now you understand, this is a fundamental machlokes in Rashi and Tosis. Rashi means Rabbi Eli is acknowledging that sometimes you can't fight the Yitzhara. Which Rabbi said, by the way, there's good proof for Rabbi Eli, because this is the whole Yisrael of Yifas Toar. The whole Yisrael of Yifas Toar, the warp right, is that even if HaKadosh Baruch Hu acknowledges that there might be sometimes where the Yetzirah is just too powerful. Okay, in those moments, minimize collateral damage. Tosis, no. What you need to do is, to a certain degree, this is actually an amazing yisod, when the Yetzirah is too powerful, the Yetzirah is like run down the clock. Meaning, go ahead and tire out the Yetzirah. Travel to somewhere far away. Put on black clothing. Essentially, suffocate out the Yetzirah until you could really do Ya'aseh Mashli B'chavitz. You could do what your heart really wants to do, which is to avoid sin at all costs. Ini, is that true? V'hatai, as well said. So what this whole Gemara makes it sound like is that it's best to sin in private. If a person is going to sin, best to sin in private and minimize the Chilul Hashem. Ini, is that so? V'hatanya, we learn, Kol Shalochas Al Kavod Kono, anyone who is not careful with the kavod of his master, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ro'oi Lo Shlo Bali Olam, it would have been better for him to never to come to the world. So we'll say, so what does this mean? Anyone who is not careful with the kavod of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, So Ma'i Rava Am Rava Says Zem Estakel B'Keshas, this refers to someone who stares at a rainbow. We'll say, when we saw this Mestakel B'Keshas, one is not supposed to stare at a rainbow and admire its beauty, because remember, the rainbow itself is a sign of divine displeasure. Rav Yosef Amar, Zeh HaOver Avera B'Seser. Rav Yosef says, this refers to someone who sins in public. Why? Because when a person sins in public, Rav Yosef says, in private, it's even worse. Why? Because when a person sins in private, at least if a person sins in public, a person says, I don't care about anyone. I don't care what God says. I don't care what people say. A person sins in private, what are they essentially doing? I care what man says. I don't care what God says. That compounds the sin. So the Gemara says, Lo kasha, hada matzi kayif liyitzrei, v'hada lo matzi kayif liyitzrei. So we'll say, this is the kind of case where a person has the ability to conquer his yitzer. A person has the ability to conquer his yitzer, but he still sins, and he sins in private. That's a terrible statement that man cares about what his fellow man thinks, and doesn't care about God. As opposed to a case where a person feels they cannot combat their Yetzirah. In that case, it is better to sin in private and to minimize the collateral damage. Tanan Hasam, Ein Makifin B'Chilul Hashem. Bas says an incredible Yisod. The Gemara says, Ein Makifin. We'll discuss what this means in just a moment. Makifin Hakafa literally means we don't extend credit. No credit is extended when it comes to Chilul Hashem. Echad Shogeg Ve'echad Mezid. Whether the Chilul Hashem occurs intentionally or unintentionally, Ma'ein Makifin, what does that phrase mean? Amar Mazutra, She'ein Osin Kechenveni. So we'll say, so what happens? A storekeeper, the Kajrah is not like a storekeeper. What does that mean? So a storekeeper will extend credit, right? You could buy, and at some point in time, he goes in and collects the debt. For Chilul Hashem, the Ribono Shel Olam doesn't extend credit. In other words, that the punishment for Chilul Hashem comes fast and comes intensely, meaning there's no extension of credit. Shbaruch Hu punishes immediately for Chilul Hashem. The Gemara says, "Mar Brei Dravna Omar Lomar Shem Haisa Shakula Machras." What it means is, it means that if a person has equal mitzvos and equal averos, but included in those averos is Chasas Shom Chilul Hashem, that Chilul Hashem tilts the scale in the favor of the averos. Tana Rabbanan. Go say, now we come to some incredibly important and yisodistic important Gemaras. So the Olam, the Gemara says the following: the Olam Yira Adam to Amud Beis. The Olam Yira Adam Atzmo Kilu Chetziv Chay VeChetziv Zakai. A person should always view himself as being literally half and half, half Chayiv, half righteous, half guilty. And in other words, with the Gemara single viewers, I should view myself in life as a Beinoni. I have a lot of mitzvos, I also have a lot of averos, and pretty much if you were to look at the scales of my life, they'd be even. Why is this important? So the Gemara says, therefore, asa mitzvah achas asherav shechriya asmo lekaf sechus. Therefore, again, if I do one mitzvah, I'm praised. Why? Because there was an element in the mitzvah, but what? I've tilted the scales in my favor. Avra avera achas, if I chas hashom come in an avera, oilo shechriyos atzol lekaf choba. And if I chas hashom come in an avera, woe is to me, why? Because I filter the scales in a negative way. Shene emar, v'chote echad yovei tova harbe. Because as the pasuk says, Rabbi Yosi in Koheles, literally one sin could wipe out, could obliterate a lot of good. Bishvil chet yechid yishechata, because of one sin that a person sins, oved mimenu tovos harbe. I could lose out on the many mitzvos that I have accomplished. As Rabbi Yosi said, the idea being that one avera could tilt the scale against many mitzvos. Rabbi Yosi Shimon says, l'fi sha'olam nidon acharubo, v'ayochid nidon acharubo. So Rabbi Shimon takes this one step further. He says the world is judged by its majority, and the individual va'yochid nidon acharubo, and the individual is judged by his role, by his majority. As Allah is adding on over here is the following: how does Hashem Baruch Hu judge humanity? What God looks for in this world is there more good than evil? As long as there's more good than evil in this world, God sustains the world. As if there's chashon more evil than good, Hashem Baruch Hu destroys the world. Same thing with man, with the individual. What is God looking for me? God is looking for me to see, is there more good than evil? As long as that is true, Hashem Baruch Hu will sustain me. And he says the following, therefore, asa mitzvah achos, ashrav shechriyas atzmo, bes kala olam l'kaf sechus. So also, Rav Shimon Elazar says now something amazing. See, up beforehand, the Gemara was talking about the idea that a person should always view his scales as being in a state of being equal. Therefore, whatever I do, mitzvah or avera, tilts the scales in one way or another. Rav Shimon Elazar adds in something more. It's not just my scales that are equal. It's the earth's scales that are equal. Therefore, what Rabbi say, whatever I do doesn't just impact me, but rather what I do also does what? Impacts the world. So Rav Shimon Elazar is taking this one step further. So Rav Shimon Elazar says, the first approach is good, but only talks about me. I have to understand my actions don't just impact me. Whatever I do and however my scales are tilted, my scales influence global scales. Therefore, asa mitzvah achos, if I did one mitzvah, ashrav, I'm praised. Why? Shechriyas atzmo ves kala olam makaf sechus. Because it was an amazing Gemara. Because if I go ahead and I do a mitzvah, not only do I tilt my personal scales, but what? I tilt the scales of the entire world. Avra avera achos, if I went ahead and I violated one avera, so oilo, woe to me, shechriyas atzmo ves kol ha'olam makaf sechus. But I'll say, what's happened? I've gone ahead and I've tilted my scales and the scales of the entire world, lekaf chova, ultimately, again, for iniquity. Shene emar, because ultimately, did I skip?
No.
Okay, so, okay, fine. Lekaf chova, shene emar, v'chote echad. Because of one sin that a person commits, he could cause himself and the entire world to lose out on good. So we'll say, you should know, if these Gemaras sound familiar, it's because the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva pretty much quotes them. So these are some of the most important sugyas in Hilchos Tshuva. Understand what Rav Shimon Elazar is trying to convey to us is an incredible yisod, which is that often, you know, there are many different psychological underpinnings or reasons for why we sin. Because sin on an intellectual level does not make sense. There are many reasons why we sin. One of the primary reasons, according to the Rambam, is because we think that our actions don't matter. We think that our actions don't really matter. What is one action going to do to me? What is one action going to do to the world? What Rav Shimon Elazar is coming to say is our actions matter greatly. And in fact, what we do has an impact on who we are, and what we do has a global impact as well. Every single thing I do, big or small, positive and negative, tilts not only my scales, this ties into what we're learning from Silas Yisharim, that even the small things matter, not just for me, but they have a universal, a global impact as well. Incredible Gemara. So we'll say, what Rav Shimon is saying is that, you know, even if I say for myself, you know, I don't care, you know, I don't. For me, it's fine, I'll live with the fallout of my actions. Why would I want to adversely impact my family, who will be impacted by my actions because they're part of this world? My friends, my people, the universe. Why would I want to negatively impact my fellow members of mankind through my actions? Rav Shimon Yochai says, Afilu tzaddik gomer kol yamav. What's another amazing tshuva gemara? Shimon Yochai says, even if a person is a tzaddik all of his days, umarad ba'acharona, and he rebelled against HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the end of his days, ibeides harishonos, he lost all of his mitzvos. Shene emar, sidkas hatzaddik lo tatzino b'yom pisho. The righteousness of the tzaddik will not save him on the day of his iniquity, on the day of his rebellion. So it's an incredible yisod. A person lives as a tzaddik his whole life, but at the end of his life he rebels against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he loses all of his zichuyos. Conversely, even if a person was a Rasha their whole life, and they did tshuva at the end of their life, ein maskirin lo shuv risho, we don't remind him of his evil ways at all. In other words, that if a person does tshuva, even at the very end of his life, he has the ability to erase all of his averus and to become a baal tshuva. Shene emar, berishas harasha leikashal b'yom shuvo mirisho. The evil of the Rasha, the evilness of the Rasha, he will not be a stumbling block for him on the day that he returns, on the day that he repents from his wickedness. In other words, so if you do tshuva, that erases everything. So says the Gemara, the Gemara is very bothered by the case of the tzaddik. Now, the case of the Rasha, a person's a Rasha their whole life, and does tshuva at the end of their life, that they then become a, that they could then become a tzaddik. Okay, that's great. We accept that. That's about tshuva. What's more bothersome is the first case, that a person can be a tzaddik his whole life, and then what? He rebels against Kadosh Baruch Hu at the end of his life, then what? He loses out on all of the good. So, the Gemara says, how could that be? Why don't at least we make him like half and half, right? Why don't we make him half and half? Why should he lose, usually, why should he lose out on all of the good? To which, the Gemara says, Amrei Shlakish, Bitoha Al Rishonos. What's the case? The case over here is Rashi says, Bitoha Mescharit Akala Tovo Sha'asa. The case over here, I will say, is not simply that Tzaddik is sinning at the end of his life, but rather what? He regrets, he actively regrets all of the good that he did. So if a tzaddik, if a person was a tzaddik, active sins, rebels, and actively regrets all of the good that he did, the Ribon Shalom says, well, if you regret it, then ultimately, again, unfortunately, I'm going to take it all back from you. It's an incredible Gemara. So let's begin the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Kol sheyeshno b'mikra b'mishnah b'derech eretz, lo b'meheru chotu. This is a beautiful Gemara, beautiful Mishnah. Whoever has mikra, chumish, Mishnah, Mishnah, we'll say, usually refers to halacha, right? Mishnah, actually, Mishnah, Gemara, halacha. So whoever learns chumash, whoever learns halacha, ube derech eretz, and a person ultimately, again, is proficient in midos tovos, in positive character traits as well, lo b'mehera hu chote, will not sin quickly. Shene emar, v'achut ha-meshulosh lo b'mehera yinote. The three-ply cord will not unfold quickly. Rabbi says an incredible use. In other words, what is he saying over here? You have to learn Torah. Right, Mishnah means, but it's not just enough to learn. You have to know how to apply it. You have to know halacha, and you have to know how to be a mensch. Derech Eretz, you have to know how to interact. But say Derech Eretz, by the way, we're going to see means a couple of things. Derech Eretz means that a person has proper midos, but it also means that a person is a contributing member of society. You have to do something for the greater good of mankind. On the other hand, if a person doesn't learn Chumash, doesn't learn Halacha, and is not involved in Derech Eretz, A, doesn't have proper midos, proper interpersonal conduct, and doesn't do anything to contribute to humanity, Eino min hayishuv. It's like he's not even part of mankind. Says the Gemara, Am Rebbe Laz Rebbe Tzadok, Lamat Tzadikim Nim Shalom Bolam Azeh, to what are the righteous compared to in this world? Le'ilan shekula omid b'makom kara, ve'nofet notet l'makom tumah. So we'll say, so remember specifically, what Rabbi Elazar Rebbe Tzaddik is referring to over here is the following. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, le'mat tzaddikim domim ba'olam hazeh. It's about 5 lines down where Rashi gets short on the top. Be'yisurna b'analeh. Now we'll say, now what we'll see, Rabbi Elazar Rebbe Tzaddik is specifically referring to is what? Is yisurin. Tzaddikim suffer. So what is the suffering of the righteous? What the suffering of the righteous in this world? What is it compared to? What is it compared to? So he says, "Le'ilan shekula on makom tara." It's like a tree whose trunk is sitting in a place of purity. Ve'nofat nota l'makom tuma, but the branches extend into an impure space. Niktas nofo. When you cut off the branches, kula omid b'makom tara. ultimately the tree stands in a pure place. So you understand the nimshal. The nimshal is that tzaddikim, they're rooted by makom tara, but the branches in this world extend into the makom tuma. So what does the Kadosh Baruch Hu do? The Ribono Shel Olam in this world cuts off the branches, and when he cuts off, I mean, that's the Yisrael, that's the suffering. When he cuts off the branches, the trunk is still solid and ultimately firmly embedded in tara, in purity. Kacha Kadosh Baruch Hu may be Yisrael Allah tzaddikim b'olam hazeh. So too God goes in and brings suffering upon the righteous in this world. Kadesh sheyirshua olam haba, in order that they will be able to inherit the world to come. Shneimar v'hayore shischa mitzar v'acharischa yishke. Your beginning will be difficult, but at the end, yiske me'od, you will rejoice greatly. So both sides. So that idea is, Kadosh Baruch Hu sometimes prunes the branches in this world, but in order that the trunk is strong and embedded entire in the world to come. To what can the Korah, can the wicked be compared to in this world? Like a tree that is totally standing in a place of tuma. But the branches ultimately extend a little bit into us. In other words, so the Rasha is firmly embedded in tar, in tuma, but the branch has some good. The branches extend ultimately into a makom tara. Niktzas nofo, when you cut up the branches, kula ombi makom tuma. The entire trunk will be sitting ultimately again in the place of tuma. Kacha Kadosh Baruch Hu, so to what does God do? Mashpir lem tova l'rishon b'olam hazeh. God showers blessing upon the wicked in this world. Kadei letardon ularishon l'madrega tachtona. In order in the world to come to punish them and ultimately to relegate them to a lower standing of Gehenna. Shene emar, yesh derech yashu lefnei ish v'acharisa derech emavis. There are some times that a person has a good life, a derech yashu in this world, but at the end, it'll be the pathway of death. So we'll say ultimately again, the Ribono Shel Olam in this world, the nature of life in this world is the pruning of the branches. For the tzaddikim, the pruning of the branches represents Yisurim, suffering in this world. But because the branches are pruned in this world, ultimately the trunk remains suddenly embedded for an eternity in Olam Haba. And for the wicked, the pruning of the branches represents again the giving of schar, the giving of reward in this world. But after the schar is given and the branches are pruned, ultimately again the trunk unfortunately remains embedded in Gehenna. We'll stop over here for today. We're probably going to begin a little bit early tomorrow. Not at 5:45. We'll get in a few minutes of Mesilas Yesharim. So it's Kedai, be here at 5:45. And we're going to start sometime maybe about like 5 or 10 to 6 in Mesilas Yesharim tomorrow. Right, in your... Bring, is it... So we're in 2 tomorrow.
Yeah, we need 2 tomorrow.
I'm sorry. Okay. Shkoya.